Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dawn-o-mite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right, I got to be honest with you. I thought that was a pretty messy episode of Dynamite. We didn't even get like video packages or a montage of the matches to hype up Revolution this weekend at the very end. I don't know. I think they tried to do a little bit too much in this casino battle royale. And look, you know, the participants, Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal, are there to basically be the ring generals when this turns into a mess. Because let's be honest, Danhausen, very fun character, you know, just very creative in wrestling and lighthearted fun. But as far as, you know, a ring general, you know, his matches are less to be desired. Orange Cassidy already has the All-Atlantic Championship. I don't know what the purpose is to even put him in this match in the first place. But they were the final tag team to be placed into that tag team title match at Revolution. So tonight, we're going to do things a little bit differently. I'm only running an hour tonight because I have to get a stress test done tomorrow morning. And that's not going to be fun. So right after this show is over, I have to shit, shower, and shave, and hopefully pass out. So we're going to get into Revolution predictions. Now, technically, there are 8 matches official, even though they never bothered tonight to tell us that Jack Perry versus Christian Cage in a street fight is a done deal. I don't know, man. This did not feel like a go-home show for Revolution, even though Bryan Danielson cut that passionate promo at the very end. I don't know. It just feels like this was just a hot mess, to be honest with you. So we're going to get into predictions for that. We're going to briefly go over Dynamite tonight. We'll also discuss Roadblock, which is taking place this Tuesday for NXT. And, you know, 5 matches there. The big buzz is Grayson Waller and Shawn Michaels having that confrontation. Who is going to step up on behalf of Shawn Michaels to face Grayson Waller at Stand and Deliver? I'm still going with my original choice. I'm going to ride it out. Even if it's wrong, so be it. Now, we have a little ratings prediction contest tonight. I would have loved for it to be NXT once again, but the NXT rating came out late tonight. So we'll have to do the AEW Dynamite predictions contest, even though the prize is for an NXT star. I don't think anybody will care because tonight somebody live in the chat room is going to win their choice of 3 different Gigi Dolin signed photos. You get to pick. You could either have this one. Now, I promise the little Don Tony watermark that you see on there, that is not part of the actual photo. You could choose that one, or maybe you could choose this one. I'll be honest with you. Of the 3, this is my favorite one. It is really, really nicely done. Or you can have this one. So since everybody likes Gigi Dolin and her assets, yeah, someone's going to win that tonight. By the way, the winner of last week's Nikita Lyons sign photo, last week we had everybody in the live chat predict what the NXT rating was going to be. And believe it or not, somebody almost nailed it right on the head. If you look at your screen, who is that? Oh, Ox King? Is that him? He predicted 590,000 and change. And the rating actually was 589. So congrats to you. You can DM me on Twitter or email me, dontony@dontony.com, and I will get your Nikita Lyons photo out to you. So tonight on Dynamite, not much new as far as Revolution goes. A little bit of hype for a few matches, but, you know, the big one obviously is to fill that final spot for the tag team title shot. But there is a little controversy tonight, and I think this is probably a good topic to open up with. Something that we had no intention on talking about tonight because we didn't know it was going to happen. Now, if you follow this show on a regular basis, you know how big of a fan that I am for Powerhouse Hobbs. You know, it blows me away how awful this man has been used in AEW for far too long. All right, the phrase better late than never probably fits this. That would be the name of the book that he actually should have. The Book of Hobbs right now should be titled Better Late Than Never. Tonight, he actually won the Revolution Casino Battle Royale. As a result, next week, he gets a shot at the TNT Championship. Now, we don't know if it's going to be Samoa Joe yet or if it's going to be Wardlow. We get into predictions a little bit later. I'll tell you who I think he's going to be facing. So I am extremely happy that Hobbs won tonight. He grabbed the Sonic the Hedgehog golden ring, but there was controversy. There was controversy. And believe it or not, for decades, I have felt a certain way about this. Believe it or not, tonight, my viewpoint has changed. And not because Hobbs won. I had a different viewpoint on this. And it's amazing because for about 20-some-odd years, I have had one feeling about what we're going to talk about, and tonight it actually changed. All right, for those on audio only, I'll describe to you what the controversy is. For everybody that's on video, just take a look at your screen. All right, that is Hobbs standing at the top of the ladder trying to grab the Sonic, the Hedgehog, you know, circle, whatever you want to call it, ring. And if you look at the bottom of your screen, you got three referees holding the ladder so he could climb up. Now, this is a wild argument on social media tonight. Should the referees do that? Is it stupid? And honestly, after tonight, I have come to this updated conclusion. I have always felt that referees have no business in assisting someone towards victory or towards defeat. All right. And there have been times over the years that a referee does something and you're like, man, if someone can't do it on their own, then they shouldn't be doing it, period. Here's the problem with that argument tonight. Yes, AEW careless for not having another ladder of that size to have it ringside where Hobbs could have grabbed it, put it in the ring, and climb it. For those that don't know why I'm saying that, this ladder broke towards the end of the match. And yes, I will agree with everyone who is going to say this, everyone who has said it over the years, and tonight applies as well. You should never use the ladder that is going to be involved in the result of a match. You should never use that as a weapon, as a prop, as anything during the match. You know, unless you are sure that there is another one at ringside ready for you to grab. And the thing is, Hobbs is a big boy. Hobbs, how long would it have taken for him to roll out of the ring, look under the ring, grab the ladder, put it in the ring, set it up, climb it, and suspension of disbelief? We're not supposed to believe that someone involved in a match isn't going to get enough energy to try to stop him. I think that would have been way too much time. And again, that isn't factoring in what I'm about to say. The fact is, this ladder broke. Do I want the referees to stay out of it? Hobbs climb it anyway, because everybody wants that outcome of him climbing it, grabbing the ring, and then possibly with his size and the ladder broken, it collapses and he falls square on his head, cracks his head open, gets seriously injured. I mean, no, I don't want that to happen. In a case like this, the referees doing this, up until tonight, I have always said the same thing. I don't like when referees get involved in matches. But when I saw that tonight, I'm like, look, This guy had to step on the final step to grab that ring. And you saw that ladder was broken. If the referees did not hold that ladder, there is an extreme likelihood that that ladder would have buckled. He could have been seriously injured. And honestly, they did not assist in the victory, if you really think about it. Then, as I was thinking about this tonight, you know, I had flashbacks when we've had, you know, like fire in tables matches. In fact, if you want a good example of it, and of course, no one out there is going to waste time to even look this up, but I'll give you one if you want to put up the argument to others. There is footage online of Kane back in the day going through a flaming table at a WWE event. It might have been Extreme Rules. I don't know if it was Extreme Rules or if it was the week before. But he went through a flaming table and part of his outfit caught on fire. And the referees put towels on him, blew him, you know, the fire extinguisher. And the match was not over, I don't believe. But the referees were right there because safety first. You know, there's been other incidents where a wrestler is in a situation and obviously the referees are going to try to prevent, you know, like serious injury. So I got to be honest with you. If they would have pushed him up or done something else, then I would have been with you. Even though I'm happy that he won, I would have been with anyone out there that's going to make that argument. But that ladder was broken. And I do not believe, because look, that is the outcome for tonight. Hobbs was winning this. And what are you going to do if there's no other ladder to use? Because apparently there wasn't another ladder to use. What are you supposed to do? Just not have a winner? Let someone else? Because Hobbs, physically, the weight, you know, he can't climb it? All right, well, there's no winner. You know, there had to have been a conclusion. Hobbs was hell-bent on climbing that ladder. You do not risk your career over a broken ladder. I had no problem with those referees holding it down. All they were doing was putting it in place so it doesn't buckle and this guy doesn't land on his head. That's my honest opinion about it. Blame AEW for not having another ladder. Even at ringside, standing up. They could have said, okay, that ladder over there, no one touched that. That ladder is only to be used if the ladder in the middle of the ring becomes defective. No one touched that ladder. They didn't do that. Something tells me they probably will have an alternate backup plan in the future. But I honestly believe that guy would have been injured if those referees were not holding that ladder. I honestly don't have a problem with it. Listen. I hate using terminology like this, but I think it's probably appropriate now. We know what pro wrestling is. Pro wrestling is scripted entertainment. It's simulated violence. We know that a lot of people who hate each other on camera are right now going to an IHOP together. All right, we know that what we are seeing is scripted entertainment. All right, so Hobbs climbing that ladder, you know, I know we don't want to see, you know, the magic, like I used when we were talking about Moxley with the blading. You know, when a magician does his magic act or her magic act, you don't want to see how the magician does it. While that person is doing it, you want suspension of disbelief that what you're watching is real. When you watch a movie, good guy versus bad guy, you want that suspension of disbelief while that movie is going on. You truly hate the bad guy for the most part, and you root for the good guy. Once the movie is over, then reality kicks in and like, wow, what great performances. But you realize that it's just entertainment. So in this case, yeah, I mean, we saw something that we shouldn't see on TV. But in a case like this, it had to be done. It was the right call, in my opinion. You're not going to stop the match. You're not going to risk the match or injury in something like that. That's my honest opinion about it. And again, it has nothing to do with the fact that I like Hobbs. But just when you saw that ladder and the shape that it was in, you know, we've seen indie events where fans will help someone. You know, like, just not because they're trying to cheat or help the wrestler cheat. It's because they realize that the person is in a bad situation. You know, somebody gets caught up in something and they're stuck or tangled and they're right by the crowd. You don't think that, of course it happens. It shouldn't happen. So, all right. So Hobbs won. And match results from tonight, Orange Cassidy over Big Bill. You know, I know a lot of people are like, even though Big Bill had to take three orange punches before being defeated, you know, a lot of people seem to not be too thrilled about that outcome tonight. As I said earlier, Powerhouse Hobbs beat Takeshka, Sammy Guevara, Eddie Kingston, Ortiz, Commander. And a lot of you were asking me tonight, we were in a little chat on a Discord, not my Discord, someone else's earlier, and they were asking me about Commander. Commander has wrestled in AAA, GCW, and Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. He's like 24, 25 years old. He's got 3 or 4 years experience. He's not a bad wrestler. I think the problem is the mask looks too similar to some of the other wrestlers that are in AEW, but he is extremely talented, and you saw that tonight. And, you know, I think he may be better suited for Ring of Honor. And, yes, we're going to talk about Ring of Honor a little bit later. We're going to talk about the TV tapings that happened this weekend. I give you my honest opinion about it. Honest opinion. I'll say it a little bit later. But in action, Andretti and AR Fox were also in this match. You know, look, the immaturity, the inexperience, I should say inexperience, not immaturity, the inexperience of Action Andretti showed in this match tonight. He did a couple of moves, you know, a couple of spots that were very, very impressive, but you could see that the timing is off. There was one point during the match where Action Andretti's holding a ladder up and this wrestler Commander climbs the corner turnbuckle. And we think he's going to drop kick the ladder right onto Action Andretti. So what happens? This wrestler Commander, when he climbs the turnbuckle, decides he's going to walk to the middle of the side rope. And if you focus on Action Andretti while he's doing this, Action Andretti literally picks up the ladder, and as he's walking, he goes like this, and then he lifts it up, you know, right at the spot where, you know, Commander is going to, you know, connect, and it just looked awful. I know 99% of the cake and ice cream crew out there will just ignore it. And me, you know, look, experience will rectify that. But I think the only reason why he was in that match tonight is because Daniel Garcia got involved, did a lot of abuse to Action Andretti tonight. And remember the stipulation for the match on Sunday, Starks versus Jericho. If you remember the original stipulation, it said everyone is banned at ringside. I got to be honest with you. In all the years of me watching wrestling, and I started watching wrestling in 1979, I don't remember ever. I'm sure it's been done, but I don't remember ever a time where they were talking about people being banned from ringside that anyone has ever used the term everyone. I never saw it, but the original stip was everyone is banned from ringside. And then they changed it to Jericho Appreciation Society is banned from ringside. So that tells me that probably Action Andretti is going to be the one getting involved on Sunday and get a little bit of revenge for what happened to him in that ladder match. So speaking of Jericho, Jericho beat Peter Avalon. Very, very short match. After the match is over, you know, Jericho gets on the mic, trashes California, and also says, you know, JAS may be banned on Sunday, but they're not banned tonight. They start beating on Avalon. Ricky Starks makes the save. He gets laid out as well. Little preview of what we're going to get on Sunday. Hook beat Matt Hardy to retain the FTW championship. And as a result, I don't know if it's going to be next week, but Hook will get the opportunity to face Stokely Hathaway one-on-one in a no DQ match, firmed banned from ringside. So will this lead to Matt Hardy being kicked out of the firm once and for all? Could we possibly see the return of Jeff Hardy soon? I'm not set. Listen, we had the whole conversation about Jeff Hardy on Saturday, so we're not going to bring it up again. If you want to know, you know, what we think and what his future could be in wrestling, when I go like this, You could go watch that clip. It's right near the beginning of that show. Rio beat Toni Storm with a fruit roll-up. Basically, Saraya was getting involved during this match. Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter come out during the match. Towards the end of the match, we think Toni Storm is about to defeat Rio. Britt Baker climbs the apron. Toni Storm distracted. Rio fruit roll-up. Match is over. Saraya and Toni Storm start getting involved. Saraya's going at it with Jamie Hayter, and here comes Ruby Soho. Runs down to ringside, lays out Saraya, lays out Hayter. Little tease for Sunday's pay-per-view. The tag team casino battle royale, as we said at the beginning of the show, Orange Cassidy and Danhausen, who were filling in for Best Friends, who apparently weren't cleared to compete tonight. And then Orange Cassidy already had a match, mind you. They won for the to get the final spot for the tag team title match at Revolution. Honestly, this dragged way too long. I think they were more concerned about feuds with the Kingdom and Aussie Open and this and that and Butcher and the it was just a hot mess. I mean, sometimes you just want this to be for a shot at the tag titles Sunday. They tried to make so many of these, you know, like secondary storylines and feuds, and it was a hot fucking mess, to be honest with you. And I'll be honest with you, the finish I thought was sloppy. For those that didn't see the finish, it came down to Claudio and Yuta versus Butcher and the Blade versus Orange Cassidy and Danhausen. Orange Cassidy and Danhausen eliminate Wheeler Yuta and Claudio. Claudio acted a lot more heelish lately. Then Butcher and the Blade are beating down on Orange Cassidy. T's throwing him over the top rope a few times. Orange Cassidy holding on to the ropes. I liked everything the Butcher and the Blade did until the very end. They were doing what you and I would do. If Orange Cassidy is holding on to the ropes, they're slapping his hands, they're kicking it, they're doing everything they can to try to get him from not holding the ropes. See, me, I would do like a bad cartoon. I'd start tickling him. I'd grab his nuts. I'd start giving him wet willies. Be like, fuck, don't give me a wet. I would do things just to annoy him. So, but they're kicking and slapping. And then Orange Cassidy falls down on the mat. And he's holding the middle rope. And what does the Butcher and the Blade do? Instead of just bending down and going down to his level and try to break him from the ropes, they decide, you know what? Let's reach over the top rope and then grab him this way. And it was awful because basically what he was saying is Danhausen is 150 pounds soaking wet, and it would look ridiculous for him to just have the superhuman strength and just eliminate Butcher. It was a mess. It was a mess. But, hey, the good guys won. The fan favorites won. That's all people care. Again, people know it's entertainment. They know, you know, what it is. And two people that they like won the match, and that's what people care about. But if you watch the very end of that again, it looks stupid. Butcher and the Blade look great up until that final 5 seconds. I mean, if this was DT from 10 years ago, I'd be using the word, different words, words that would rhyme with Moloch, and yeah, we'll just leave it at that. And those were your match results tonight. We had a whole bunch of segments. Honestly, I don't know why this got a holy shit chant. Kenny Omega and the Elite come out, the lights go out, and we are, and the lights come on, and they're holding the titles, and everybody's chanting, holy shit, holy shit. You know, we didn't see anything. They're just holding the belts up. I know why. I mean, we all would love to see the House of Black be Trios champions. Way, 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 way overdue. And just the look of the House of Black, just the way they present themselves, which is top quality, upper tier. I mean, even their outfits, you know, the masks that they use, they put on a performance. And it's art. And when they're holding the titles up, you get that, you know, spurt of, you know, suspension is like, holy shit, wow, they could actually win this. They look cool. That's awesome. And then you remember, it's the Elite. It's the Elite. And they just did this best of seven series. You know, the NBA on NBC, you know, I grew up watching them also. After doing all that, oh, game seven, Michael Jordan, you know, they got to bask in their glory for a little while. And this was put together, what, 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago? Suddenly the House of Black give a shit in storylines, not their fault. Sorry, you know, this build, look, the match is going to be excellent. But me, you know, I kind of would like to have seen a little bit of a better, you know, story played out. When the House of Black came back, oh, we put everybody on a death sentence. The House of Black are here. We are putting everybody on notice. Death. The result, your punishment is death. And then they take out A.R. Fox. By the way, did A.R. Fox see something he wasn't supposed to see? I know he's a good trainer, and I know he's well-liked in the back. But, you know, like, there's a reason why A.R. Fox was not, like, majorly featured on WWE, MLW, Impact Wrestling, NWA, TNA, ECW. I'm talking about the, you know, there's a reason why QT Marshall was nothing on TV until, you know, there's some people that are good, but I don't think they should be getting this type of exposure. When I get into the matches for the Ring of Honor tapings, I'm not giving you spoilers. I'm not going to criticize the matches, but A.R. Fox is all over this fucking thing. And I'm like, you know, why are we supposed to care? You know, like, he just out of nowhere got two trios title shots in the last month on Rampage. And I'm not dissing A.R. Fox. A.R. Fox is very, very beloved in this neck of the woods. You know, we're familiar with A.R. Fox for well over 15 years. But, you know, this is somebody that just pops in out of nowhere. It's not like, you know, he's been in a coma for the last 3 years. A guy who's available, and he comes in and he's getting all this fucking opportunity. You almost feel like, did he see something he wasn't supposed to? I sound like the Brian Pillman hotline. Shh. You might hear something you're not supposed to. So, Moxley cuts a promo. Moxley's promo, listen, say what you want about the bleeding. Say what you want about the blading. Say what you want about, you know, the type of matches that he prefers to do, you know, and it kind of feels a little played out. Motherfucker can really talk on the mic because you could tell, like, this is his type of match. That's the type of violence that he wants. And, you know, because he's getting it, you know, he's not challenging someone to, a submission match. You know what I mean? Like, this is right up his alley. And when he is hyping up a match that's right up his alley, you know, he doesn't even have to think. He just throws it out there. And his promo tonight was perfect. Perfect. You know, Hangman Page, you know, something's got to change with him, man. We like him. The head injury he had recently is scary. By the way, I thought Adam Cole was supposed to wrestle tonight. I don't know why people last week kept saying, no, he's wrestling next week. Did I miss something tonight? But, you know, didn't we get an announcement already that I'm back like 7 weeks ago? I mean, look, I'm not being a jerk right now. I'm a huge Adam Cole fan. I want to see him wrestle. I want him back on TV. I'm a selfish wrestling fan. But Hangman Page continuing with, I don't want violence. I hate violence. What the fuck are you wrestling for then? You know, like, I that's the one thing I don't like about him. I don't care about Millennium Cowboy. I don't care about, you know, certain aspects about him that rub people the wrong way. You know, we've seen what this man has done in the last 3+ years in AEW. And after all, I don't want violence. I hate violence. I don't know. That's something I think they should move away from, in my honest opinion. All right, Christian Cage. Again, we had that conversation last week that I think is a big deal. You know, We don't know how many years Christian Cage's AEW contract is. It's definitely something that you should think about. Tonight, they set up that they're going to have a street fight at Revolution. Jack Perry versus Christian Cage. Now, I am going to go super, super low right now. Scumbag low. Not to be a jerk, but I think each and every one of you tuning in will say to me, that would have been the most savage quote of the year in pro wrestling if Christian Cage would have said something that I would have said tonight. Christian Cage is in the ring. He's with Rene Paquette. Christian Cage is talking about why he hates Jungle Boy so much. And to summarize it, he says that you treat this business like a video game. I treat this business like an ATM machine, and I'm not done withdrawing just yet. And he says that, you know, Jack Perry is not a closer. He doesn't have an ounce of what I have. And he's thrown a lot of shade to Jack Perry. The lights go out, and we get this video package on the screen. And it's Jack Perry in a cemetery digging a hole. I think some of you know where I'm going with this. He's digging a hole, and we see clips of what happened between him and Christian in the past. Jack Perry is thinking about it a little bit. He starts digging more, digging more, digging more. And the next thing you know, this tombstone is shown on the screen, Christian Cage. Now, yeah, they didn't spend too much money on it. It looks like that they just got a nice piece of PVC, cut it in the shape of a tombstone, and then bought some, you know, stencils on Amazon and, you know, stenciled Christian's name. But still, you know, it looked powerful on TV. Now, a lot of people out there are like, oh, are we getting a Buried Alive match? No, we're not getting a Buried Alive match. I don't think we're getting a cinematic match either. But when the tombstone showed on the screen and Rene Paquette says to Christian, you have any comment about that? And Christian doesn't say anything. He walks off and looks very, very concerned. Me, the way how savage Christian Cage has been in this feud with Jack Perry, you know what I would have done? I would have got on that mic and I would have said, hey, Jack, while you're in that cemetery digging that hole, why don't you say hello to your father for me? That's what I would have done. That would have been one of the most savage things of the year. People would have been like, no, fuck. I was like begging. I'm like, please, please. I know it's awful. I know it's awful, but they have brought that in storyline before. Oh, missed opportunity, man. You're in a cemetery. You're digging a grave. You're digging a hole. You know, his father unfortunately passed away way too young. Hey, Jack, while you're digging, why don't you say hello to your dad for me? Or why don't you dig up your dad and let him see what I'm going to do to you on Sunday? Savage. That's what DT's promotion would have done. That's what I would have done. But we didn't get it that far tonight. You know, a couple of things to mention. You know, during that Face of the Revolution ladder match, Eddie Kingston and Ortiz, they brawled to the back, and there must have been a sausage cart outside. Oh, look, sausage and peppers. I think that's what happened. They just fucking disappeared. Towards the end of the match, I was starting to say, like, where's Hobbs? I'm like, who's Hobbs supposed to be going at it? Because Takeshka and Commander were going at it for a little while. Actually, Andretti was just, you know, doing what he was doing. But Ortiz and Kingston just flat out disappeared. And it was what it was. So that's pretty much what we got tonight. By the way, we are going to do that contest in about 5 minutes. I promised everyone between 10:30 and 10:45. I'm really working hard to try to finish this show by around 11:05, 11:10, because I really do have to do shit in the morning. So before we get, you know what? Let's do the contest now, because I said between 10:30 and 10:45. Let's do ratings predictions. Now, last week, AEW did 1,028,000. So think about tonight's Dynamite. Think about the fact that it was a go-home show for Revolution. Think about the matches that we got tonight. Think about the placement of the matches. And start thinking to yourself, you know, what do you think the rating will be? Now, obviously, don't post your rating yet. I am going to put it in the live chat for everybody to see. And for a little incentive, let's do this. Let's throw, that doesn't work. That works. Let's throw up. Now, again, the winner, let's throw up. Ah, that didn't sound right. All right, so the winner, whoever comes closest to predicting the AEW Dynamite rating correctly, next week, that winner will choose their choice of any one of these Gigi Dolin sign photos. And yes, I do have them on hand. They're not sticky for you pervs out there. I do have them. I want to thank certain someone in Florida for sending me those photos and a few others. We got some others. I'm waiting on some JC Jane signed photos. That seems to be a little bit harder to get for some reason. But yeah, so when I type go in a live chat, you have about 30 seconds to post your prediction. It should only take you about 5 seconds to do. If you type a second prediction or if you delete your original prediction, then your entry is void. Because what happens is if somebody posts it, then they see someone else post a similar one, and then they try to repost again to try to overtake the other person. That's not the way it works. But anyway, so without further ado, post your rating. You have about 30 seconds, and we will see who comes closest to the AEW Dynamite rating. Again, I would have loved to have done the NXT rating, but it came out late tonight. So I know AEW Dynamite rating for an NXT prize, you know, whatever. She used to go with Darby Allin. So there's your AEW connection. By the way, Darby Allin's not involved in Revolution? Something tells me he's on Rampage tonight. And something tells me maybe something happens on Rampage tonight. He'll bump into someone. Maybe we'll get the impromptu match. All right, so good predictions. You know, we're going to end the predictions in a second. I'll tell you something that's funny. When I was reviewing the entries from last week, earlier tonight, I forgot that the contest was for the NXT rating. I thought it was for Dynamite, and I'm looking at the numbers, and I'm like, 500, 600,000. Like, people are not taking this contest seriously. And then I was like, stupid Don Tony. It's the NXT rating everybody was predicting. By the way, NXT rating went down this week. You know, not a good thing. Not a good thing. So anyway, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, last chance, 1. And Byron, I know what you mean, 850. All right, contest over. That's it. Good luck. You had about more than 60 seconds to enter. So we will see. We will see. We'll let Martins and we'll let Twix slide. Yeah, we'll let him in. So that's it. All right, that's it. So everybody's entries are in. We'll see next week who wins it. So chat room, go away. Not, you know, mean the screen. All right. Let's talk about Revolution predictions. Then we'll talk about Roadblock. Get into a couple of little NXT tidbits. I got a little follow-up from the Zoe Stark discussion that we had last week, which we ended up being right, by the way. All right. So here is your AEW Revolution preview and prediction. Oh, you know what? I got to show you something. Before we do prediction, I want to show you one thing. AEW, and what is it? Joe Hand Productions. They are working together and they're going to show AEW Revolution in movie theaters in the United States and Canada. And it's a pretty cool deal. Something I found a little interesting. This is the press release that came out about the AEW Revolution. You could see it in movie theaters. And as you could see, it's going to be in select theaters in North America and Canada on Sunday, March 5th. And, you know, they talk about, you know, where it's going to be live. And they mentioned most of the matches that were already announced. Now, take a look at the matches that they listed. And something that I found very interesting, and I think this was done intentionally. If you look at the list of the matches, you will notice that for the Iron Man match between MJF and Bryan Danielson, there is no time attached to it. Because, yes, I know some people don't like it. Some people think it's stupid. But we have had many 30-minute Iron Man matches because on TV, 60 minutes is a very, very long time, especially if you add commercials into it. So, yes, we have had several 30-minute Iron Man matches over the years. But I personally think that they intentionally left out the length of the Iron Man match because if you're going to a movie theater and one match is going to be an hour. That might actually turn some people off. I know some of you are going to say to me, what are you, crazy, DT? Yo, we're hardcore wrestling fans. So for us, it's a little different. But I think that was done by design to leave the length of the Iron Man match off of it. So I just figured I'd show it to you. And by the way, just to give you a little sample, I'll give you a little sample. For those that are curious, this is the website. It is johandpromotions.com. If you go to that website and you want to see if it's going to be in your area, you could type in your zip code and it shows you the nearest event. Now, for me, unfortunately, I'm not going to put my exact zip code, but I'll put some close by. I put my zip code, nothing nearby. If I put just New York, if I scroll down to New York, you see there's not, it's not very many. Let's see. Okay, if you look at New York, you got, like, this is Brooklyn, not great neighborhoods, by the way. Buffalo, upstate, Deer Park, which is Suffolk County. You know, there's really nowhere in my neighborhood. Farmingdale's like 45 minutes away from my house. These are all upstate New York. This is Westchester. That's New York City. So, oh, Queens. This is the only one that's close to me, Astoria. And that's still about 30 minutes away. You know, because so if you go to that website, if you're thinking about possibly going to the movie theater, just remember, though, you know, you're going to be in that theater for about 3.5 to 4 hours minimum. So, you know, just saying. All right, let's get into predictions. There we go. Preview and predictions. Now, this is the match order I decided to do. I decided to go from most predictable outcomes, in my opinion, to the hardest, with the exception of the main event, because I do not want to cover Bryan Danielson versus MJF first with all of these matches. But I honestly think that match is the most predictable of them all. But we have 8 matches, and unfortunately, we do not have a graphic yet for Christian Cage versus Jack Perry. Again, really, really hot mess tonight with Dynamite. You know, you didn't get, you know, those, you know, just going over each match at the end and no announcement for Perry and Christian. I mean, you got to do that. And I just think that they wasted too much time with that tag team mess. So anyway, AEW Women's Championship. Jamie Hayter defending the title in a 3-way versus Saraya and Ruby Soho. I think during this match we will see Ruby Soho actually team up with Jamie Hayter a little bit to go against Saraya, and then I will see Ruby team up with Saraya a little bit to go up against Jamie Hayter, and then I'll see Ruby just by herself. I don't know why they started this storyline where Ruby doesn't know who she's aligning with, because there was nothing to ever, like, even give that inclination in the first place. How's about Ruby wants the women's championship, and she's not going to take anybody's side? Is that hard? Not hard. I think that would have made even more sense. But Jamie Hayter riding some great momentum. You know, she was in the rearview mirror of Thunder Rosa for way too long because AEW did not take the title off of Thunder Rosa right away because of injury. And she has finally got the opportunity to be the focus of the women's division. I think for a lot of people out there, they're waiting for Britt Baker to turn on Jamie Hayter and try to get what is hers, the women's championship. That has not happened yet. We thought it was going to happen a long time ago with the reverse. But I think that's down the line. Jamie Hayter retains. I think this is one of the most predictable outcomes of the night. And I think it's also a 3-way, so Saraya could, you know, not be the focal point of the match. She could pull back a little bit. You know, she's still trying to find her way. I think people are, you know, rushing it a little bit too much. You know, I think we got to give her a little bit more time to find herself back. So it's not very easy, both physically and emotionally. Trios titles. Look, you know, is this match going to kick ass? Absolutely. Absolutely. We've seen the House of Black kick ass on TV. We've seen the Elite kick ass repeatedly on TV. This is going to be a banger. The problem is, after everything that we saw with the Elite returning and doing the best of seven. Where the fuck is Pac? You know, like, does anybody in their right mind think that they are dropping the titles this soon? It would make absolutely no sense. Do I think somebody is going to show up? Yeah, I think it could happen. I think there's going to be some type of bullshit finish. You know, it'll probably be cool, but I think that's going to be what the demise will be with the House of Black. I think the Elite will retain these championships. I am 100% behind the House of Black. I've been wanting the House of Black to get gold forever. But the thing is, right now, I personally think it's the Elites to keep for an extended period of time. By the way, I'll throw this out there right now, you know, just as a little side note, no reason for us to have a long discussion about it. Last week, we had a conversation about Kenny Omega and his current status in AEW. And we talked about the fact that AEW extended his contract to make up for the time that he was out with injury. Listen, people don't know how much Kenny Omega makes in AEW. He gets paid a lot. So if he's going to be out for that long, you know, that's a lot of money. I don't care if Tony Khan is worth $1 trillion. That is a lot of money to pay someone who is not physically able to wrestle in the ring. But what pissed me off over the last week, and this is something that we brought up a week ago, this is something we brought up 10 days ago, and no one is addressing it. You know, and that's the fact that, okay, they added time to Kenny Omega's deal, and if you do simple arithmetic, that means that his AEW contract is up around November. What about his second salary for working in management? He still worked in management, and you cannot count the suspension. You know, they were still working even though they were not in the arenas, but even if they weren't working, when you're suspended for behavioral, you know, you don't get that money back. You know, one thing that we talked about early on with the fight with CM Punk, that whole fight, remember what we said all along? That there was no legal investigation. There was no legal investigation. Oh, this is an investigation. There's outside. There was no outside people. What do you think? There was detectives? You think there was forensics? You think there's GTV that, you know, was revealed? There was no outside investigation. That was a cop-out word that they gave to a lot of the elite media who takes the crumbs, and that was their way out every time. Hey, could you, you know, what happened with this? Oh, no, there's an ongoing investigation. With who? With who? There was none. And people are starting to figure that shit out. I heard Cornette say it recently. Like, you know, whatever happened with the, no, there was no legal outside investigation. It was a bunch of guys that were pissed off at each other that broke out into a fight, and that was it. He started it. Ow! You know, that's all it was. You know, this isn't harder than a game of Clue, but everybody let it go. But what's going on with Kenny Omega's executive contract? They didn't add months to that. So is his executive deal over? Did he work out another deal for another 9 months? No one is bringing that up. No one is addressing it. No one is asking even these journalists, hey, all right, the talent contract, what about his executive contract? Nobody's talking about it. Just pointing it out to everyone, you know. And yes, another week went by, everyone. He redeemed another week. By the way, I always say that Miro is one of the smartest men in wrestling. Brock Lesnar is number two. Did you see all the Brock Lesnar stuff today? We'll talk about it Saturday. Because we mentioned it on Monday. You know, nobody pays attention. I mean, I know you all do, but nobody outside gives a shit of what we say over here. It was obvious. You know, Brock Lesnar chose his opponent. You know, you want me at WrestleMania. You know, even if Vince did have a hand in it, the motherfucker owns 84% voting power. Motherfucker owns a majority of WWE. Brock Lesnar, remember the sausage? Brock came back because it's still Vince's company. So, yeah, if there was, yeah. So? And? They want Vince McMahon fucking crucified to the cross. Just, they don't want his hands nailed to the cross. They want his balls nailed to the cross. I know that sounds gory and awful, but you see people online. You know, and then when Vince dies, you know what? Say what you want about his stuff, but you can't deny, blah, 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 blah. Fuck you. Eat a Snickers, the official candy of WrestleMania 39. So, the Elite will retain. Next on the list. We don't have the thumbnail yet, so we just got to show the Amazon PVC tombstone. Christian Cage versus Jack Perry in a street fight. 2023 is Christian Cage's year. Jack Perry's year. Jack Perry wants a title in 2023. Even though Christian said, hey, I want a title in 2023 also. I think Jack Perry's got to get the win here. I think the reason why the street fight is happening is so something could happen to Christian Cage, you know, that would make him physically unable to compete, and that's how Jack Perry gets the win. Jack Perry's got to win this. And Christian Cage, look, the motherfucker's a Hall of Famer, one of my favorites of all time. I think he is so underrated on the mic, and, you know, we're so happy that he's back in some capacity. He loses nothing by losing this match. For me, Jack Perry, 2023 is good. You don't want him to follow the Book of Hobbs. You don't want him to follow the Book of Hobbs. I mean, it's not Hobbs's fault, but you know how stupid it would look if Jack Perry, 2023 is my year. He just beat Brian Cage and others. He loses to Christian on Christian's return. I don't care if Luchasaurus shows up. I don't care if he's wearing a different mask. No mask. If you don't know about what I'm talking about, Google it. Still, Jack Perry's got to win this one. And I'm going with Jack Perry to win. And no, I don't believe it's going to be a buried alive match. If it was a buried alive match, I think Christian Cage's AEW career would have been over. I think that would have been a way to write him off TV. But again, nobody is bothering to, you know, clarify what the deal is with his contract. Jericho versus Starks, JAS, Jericho Appreciation Society, banned from ringside. Originally, it was everyone, team everyone. I think Ricky Starks gets the win on this one. You know, they've been planting the seed that Jericho can be defeated, and Ricky Starks needs momentum. A lot of people feel that Ricky Starks' momentum has been put on an abrupt hold. Even though he's feuding with the JAS, even though he's got decisive victories over a lot of those guys, you know, what happened to his promo exchange with MJF? He's not even in the title picture anymore. So this is AEW's way of trying to keep a little momentum of Ricky Starks without necessarily having a title. So I'm going with Ricky Starks to win. Does Action Andretti show up? Yeah, some people think Action Andretti's going to turn on Ricky Starks. The guy just broke his cherry. I don't even think he has pubic hair yet in his AEW career. He's still an infant. You know, he's not bad. I sung the praise of Action Andretti when he first made his AEW debut. We talked about him before. The guy on the indies is good. But when you're under a microscope on national TV for the second largest promotion, you know, you got to be a little bit extra there. And I think that would be way too fucking much pressure. You know, to put him as a third young gun in the Jericho Appreciation Society. So I'm going with Ricky Starks to win. If Action Andretti shows up, I think he costs, in some way, Jericho the match. I don't see him turning on Ricky Starks. I'd be very surprised if that happens. All right. I know a lot of you out there are like, wait a minute, DT, how the fuck did you get that thumbnail? Well, you see, I got 4K TV. I got 4K TV. I screenshotted it, and then I zoomed in, and then I cropped. If you look in the top right-hand corner, you might see an Orange Cassidy leg somewhere. That's a screenshot from TV. AEW didn't even make fucking thumbnails before we could go live tonight, so I made my own. So, the Guns defending the AEW tag titles against Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal, the Acclaimed, Orange Cassidy, and Danhausen. In no way, shape, or form do I think Orange Cassidy and Danhausen will win those tag titles. Orange Cassidy, you know, I give him compliments. He is much better than what is perceived. Danhausen is fun, but that's where it stops for me. The Acclaimed, it almost feels like AEW made a mistake. There was no reason to take the titles off of the Acclaimed. A lot of people, including me, wondered if Billy Gunn was going to turn on the Acclaimed, help the Guns regain the titles. And then for some reason, after all of these months, the Guns can't stop beating on their father. Think about the months where they would just talk trash and that was it. Now it's like you got to lay hands on him to shut the people up online. And Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal are there just to navigate the match to make it look better instead of it just being a hot mess where everybody wants to get their spot. So believe it or not, if the Guns lost the tag titles this quickly, I think people would look at it like they should have never had it in the first place. If they retain, they have a substantial win under their belt. Even though, guys, don't they hold two wins over FTR in 2022? I know they hold at least one. Pretty sure they hold at least one. I'm going to go with the Guns. Do I want to go with the Guns to retain? The question is, who feuds with it? You know what? Man, I you know what? I'm going to go with the Acclaimed. No. I'm going to go with the Guns. I'm going to go with the Guns because there's another match in the back of my mind that I think we're going to get a title change. And I'll explain why when we get. I'm going to go with the Guns to retain. I think AEW, this is their way of trying to establish the Guns a little bit legitimate win. I'm going to go with the Guns to retain, even though, to my opinion, they should have never won the tag titles in the first place this soon. All right. As we go along, they're getting a little bit harder to predict the winner. Okay. I think Wardlow defeats Samoa Joe for the TNT Championship. In a little bit, I'll give you the matches that were taped at Ring of Honor for Florida. I'm not going to give you spoilers. Samoa Joe is all over them. I think that now with Ring of Honor finally doing TV again, and listen, they ain't doing TV every week. They might only do it once a month. So it's not like, oh, Samoa Joe, he does all his Ring of Honor stuff and then he gets 3 weeks off. Samoa Joe has done a lot more now than he has done in years. I mean, he worked quite a bit over the last month. I give him credit, but I think, you know, there's no reason for him to have two titles right now. And I believe when he came out for the Ring of Honor tapings, I don't think he was holding the TNT title. I don't think that's a spoiler or anything like that. I know what you're going to say. Well, it was a Ring of Honor show, so that's why he only came out with the Ring of Honor title. Well, then why does he come out with the Ring of Honor title in AEW shows? You know what I mean? So you can't really think of it like that. But I think Wardlow, they got to recreate the momentum. He had some major momentum when he first beat MJF way back when. And then that seemed to dissipate quickly. So I think Wardlow needs this victory over Samoa Joe. Hell, maybe Darby Allin gets involved. And maybe that helps Wardlow win. I don't know. But I think Wardlow has to win this match. There's your title change. That's why I'm going with the Guns in the other match, because I think this match will be the title change. Wardlow will win. Samoa Joe will still be Ring of Honor TV champion, so Samoa Joe could still walk around with a belt. So I'm going with Wardlow to win this match. All right, next on the list. We did this one already. Oh, that's from before. Sorry. That was my backup thumbnail just in case. Okay, here we go. Jon Moxley versus Hangman Page. Texas Death Match. You know, I almost feel the same way about Hangman Page as I do with Wardlow. Hangman Page, it just feels like there's no direction right now. Like, outside of Moxley, Hangman Page, the only other thing that's going on is, hey, I talked to the Dark Order today. Hey, I was with the Dark Order earlier. You know, like, there's nothing going on. Who is on the horizon to feud with Hangman Page? Don't you remember that he was going to try to make amends with some of his friends? Did they kind of like kibosh that because Adam Cole is returning? I feel like Hangman Page has unfinished business going on with the Elite. And I almost feel like that's got to come into play. But I also feel that, you know, we've had so much interaction with Moxley and Hangman Page. Like, I should want to care about this match more, and I don't. I don't. It's not that I've gotten numb to see Moxley bleed every week. It's not that. Because this obviously is going to be a crazy, violent fight. But, you know, who needs this match more? Like, Moxley's been so dominant on TV that I don't think he needs to win this match. Because Moxley could come out next week, you know, to his theme music. Everybody sings along with it. He bleeds. He beats the shit out of someone. He gets, you know, very passionate on the mic, and everybody forgets. In fact, you'd be surprised how many people are a little bit confused, like who won which match here or there. So believe it or not, I'm going to go with Hangman Page to win this one. I think everybody thinks street fight, oh, right up Moxley's alley. Moxley's got this in the bag. I think that Hangman Page is actually going to win this one, and it's not going to be a wrestling move. It's not going to be a fruit roll-up or anything like that, because remember the outcome of the last match. People are like, that was the finish? So we're going to get, you know, I think Hangman Page, we need those crazy eyes to return. Remember right before COVID? Remember when Hangman Page, when it looked like he was going to turn on Kenny Omega, and he'd be on the ring apron, and he had that look on his face, like the first time that, you know, any heterosexual male saw a pussy live up in person. He just had those crazy eyes, like, I can't do it. It's late. I'm tired. I think that side of Hangman Page needs to come out. I think it will, and I'm going to go with Hangman Page to get this win. I disagree with you, Psycho. There was definitely a buildup. There's been a story that has developed ever since he had the concussion. So you really don't need to have, you know, like every week back and forth. But I think that violent side of Hangman Page needs to come out. And stop with these promos. I hate violence. Then go play a violin and eat a Snickers bar. MJF versus Bryan Danielson. The most predictable match of the night. There ain't no way MJF is dropping his title this soon. If he lost the title based on his promos, everybody would be having MJF on suicide watch. Is he going to take the pills? You know, like, I don't even know if his fiance truly left him. Do I care? No, this is about wrestling. That's all I care about. I don't care about Birdie. I don't care about Buddy. I don't care about bees. I don't care about fiancés. I care about what I'm going to see on the TV. I have always felt when Bryan Danielson came into AEW, I almost feel like Bryan Danielson had this serious conversation with Tony Khan. I don't want to win a world championship. I want to help the stars of tomorrow. I want to be, you know, and if you notice that promo tonight, he made a remark that he could have signed a deal. He didn't say WWE by name, but he could have signed a deal with WWE that would have set him for life for the rest of his career. And he turned it down for less money to come to AEW. Do I think he took less money to come to AEW? Maybe originally, but I think it has changed a little bit since then. But I've never, ever, ever felt convinced that Bryan Danielson wanted that title. I don't think it was ever about the championship. Obviously, he's got to sell to all of us suspension of disbelief that he wants to take that title from MJF. I mean, otherwise, if we feel like, oh, Bryan Danielson, he's not interested in the championships, well, then why do I fucking care? Other than knowing that the match is going to tell a wonderful story. So you got to have that feeling that Bryan Danielson changed his view on that, maybe does want a championship in storyline. But, you know, understand something else too. You got to be very careful of who you pay attention to in the news media as well. And I'll tell you why I'm saying that. Do you remember not too long ago we heard, you know, like from people in the business, in wrestling, some that pissed off the IWC, that we found out that CM Punk never wanted the AEW World Championship and Tony Khan talked him into getting it. You remember that story? That got swept under the rug so quickly. About 2 weeks ago, that came to surface again when talking about Bryan Danielson. because the one thing that people started talking about 2 weeks ago, 2 to 3 weeks ago, is that, you know, Bryan Danielson and CM Punk, you know, they're veteran guys. And when they came into the AEW, they were truly, it wasn't about the championship. It was about actually trying to help, you know, the next generation and, you know, being able to do what you could do in the ring as well. And as soon as the association of CM Punk and Bryan Danielson came together 2-3 weeks ago, what reports did you start reading all across the newswire that Hangman Page was supposed to originally beat CM Punk and CM Punk called an audible and they said, why do you think that's only coming out there now? Because people originally were associating with CM Punk and Bryan Danielson as the same mentality that they didn't want the championship. That is a perfect example of what I've been warning you about for the last year and a half. That these people behind the scenes in AEW, whenever something comes out that really could stir things the wrong way, boom, crumbs come out. We're not going to name the people in the media, but you can figure out who they are. Immediately, there's always a response. Miro, remember when we talked about Miro? As soon as, you know, people started in droves complaining about Miro on TV, crumb comes out. Oh, Miro balked at this match. It's almost the same exact thing, just the reverse with CM Punk. So AEW had to convince us that no, you know, no one there doesn't want a title. You know, Bryan Danielson doesn't want to be the focal point of AEW on camera. He wants to be a contributor. He wants to be a team player. He doesn't want to be the captain, you know, and that's not a negative thing, but that is the facts about Bryan Danielson. And the only way to really sell this match, other than it being a banger, you know, is the fact that he could possibly win the championship. Unfortunately, I don't believe he's going to win this championship. MJF, he is still very new as being a champion. I think one of the younger stars of tomorrow has to be the one to dethrone him. And we've just touched the surface with MJF. You know, with his reign. I mean, really, who is he feuded with? He had, you know, a tiny little, you know, schmoz with Ricky Starks, and that dissipated like this. You know, and you got Brian, and then what? Like, who's next on the horizon? So I think you got to keep the belt on MJF, and we got to start seeing a progression of someone that could be a serious, legitimate contender. And I don't think Bryan Danielson is the one to beat him for that championship. Bryan Danielson, they have used him really, really well. Very surprised Bryan Danielson is not all over the Ring of Honor tapings, even for the first show. Nothing. I mean, obviously, we got Revolution coming up, and that's the obvious reason why. But I want to see in the next set of tapings if Bryan Danielson in some way is involved with the Ring of Honor tapings. We'll see. I don't think you revisit Ricky Starks this soon. You know, because then it's like there was a detour. You know, like they were feuding and then Jericho Appreciation Society and then you're back on that path again. And if he fails a second time around, no. So we'll see what happens. But I'm going with MJF to retain. So this Tuesday, we actually have NXT Roadblock. And yes, the buzz everybody is talking about is the confrontation, Shawn Michaels on the Grayson Waller effect. Yes, Shawn Michaels will have a little bit of scruff. Yes, there will be a little bit of the hair dye that Keith Lee seemed to have, misplaced. And, you know, let me say this about Keith Lee. A lot of you have asked me over the last 7 days, what do I think about his Mordecai outfit? Because that's the name that everybody's compared it to. Believe it or not, with the exception of the gray, that to me, the gray doesn't make him look like a grizzled veteran. The gray, to me, makes him look like a lazy big man. You know, and I love Keith Lee. He was my favorite in NXT forever, if anybody follows my shows a couple of years ago. Keith Lee, with the gray, doing what he was doing, just looked lazy. But the outfit that he wore, that jacket, to me, it matched his promos. The way he talks, greetings and salutations. Like, the promos match the outfit now. Like, he's a preacher. I didn't have too much of a problem with it. So better than the Bearcat, though. Got to admit that. All right, so we got Roadblock on Tuesday. Five matches announced. We got Indus Sheer versus the Creed Brothers and Bron Breakker. Yes, Bron Breakker will be wrestling on Tuesday. They needed a third person with the Creed Brothers. Creed Brothers ex Damon Kemp, and he said no because Damon Kemp is a heel. But Indus Sheer is obviously the tag team and Jinder Mahal as well. So I'm going to go with, I think I'm going to go with Indus Sheer to win it. I think they are a threat for the tag titles soon. I think Bron Breakker will not be the one to be pinned, but I think we're going to get some type of a clusterfuck. I want to go with Indus Sheer to get this one. JC Jane versus Gigi Dolin. The Battle of Toxic Attraction. A lot of people think that Gigi Dolin, this has got to be her revenge on JC Jane getting the win on this one. Believe it or not, I don't believe there's a Marty or a Shawn Michaels. There's no Jannetty on this team. But I also think that JC Jane needs to be sneaky bitch. And I think JC Jane needs to do something very sneaky, cheat, win. And I don't think Gigi Dolin starts on his tailspin. You know, I just, as much as I'm a fan of Gigi Dolin, I mean, big fan of hers, we all are, most of us, I still think JC Jane gets the win on this one. I think Gigi Dolin will kick her ass a little bit, but I think in the end, JC Jane is going to cheat, get a win, and that momentum continues for JC Jane. You got to be very careful with JC Jane right now because a lot of people, you know, feel that Gigi Dolin, She's a made woman, you know, and people are starting to understand why I always said that she gave me Paige vibes. People are starting to figure it out, what I was always talking about. I don't think Gigi Dolin needs a win to gain additional popularity. I think she will beat on JC Jane a little bit, but in the end, I think she loses. Andre Chase with Chase University versus Joe Gacy with the Schism. I think the Schism are your upcoming NXT Tag Team Champions. I do not see Andre Chase getting this win. Chase University, there's going to be a twist in that team coming up very, very soon. You know, I've heard a couple of different scenarios that are going to play out, but something is going to change with Chase University, and it could happen before Stand and Deliver. I'm going with Joe Gacy to defeat Andre Chase. And then we should start seeing a little bit more focus on the Schism going for the tag titles, maybe even at Stand and Deliver. Dijak versus Tony D'Angelo with Stax in his corner in a jailhouse street fight. As much as I have a little bit of favoritism for Tony D, the Don, I'm going with Dijak. Dijak, you know, when he fucking did that to his finger, the match he had with Wes Lee was incredible. Dijak is a special kind of talent that unfortunately has been misused in WWE. We have seen what Dijak could do with Keith Lee, and we've seen what Dijak could do with Wes Lee. You know, just think of both of those Lees. One is a behemoth, and one is a twig, and I don't mean that in a negative way. Just think of what Dijak has done with both Lees. The guy can work with anybody. I think you got to keep the momentum with Dijak. Dijak is going to win that. Will we see an emergence of someone else during that match? We may. I don't want to give anything away. And we got what they're calling the main event as far as the matches go. We have Roxanne Perez defending the NXT Women's Championship against Maiko Satomura. And, God, Satomura is one of my favorites. When she first was coming to the States last year, I was talking about on this show repeatedly. She is there to help develop Roxanne Perez a little bit more. A defeat against Roxanne Perez is not going to do anything to Maiko's career. After the match is over, she will hold Roxanne's hand up high. There will be that mutual respect there. Roxanne Perez will have the match of her life, but this is, you know, part of growing and developing in NXT. This helps Roxanne Perez in some ways, like Dolph Ziggler helped Bron Breakker early on. Michael is not a heel, but having that veteran, you know, just that presence and that victory is a big win in her resume. A lot of you out there that never followed Mako's career, you should do a little research. You'd be surprised. She has, you know, maybe not a Hall of Fame career in a lot of people's eyes, but she is definitely one of the top, probably one of the top women in wrestling that you never heard of up until maybe a year ago. Like, she's been around for a long time, and you'd probably be a little surprised to see where she appeared in the past. If you do a little, I don't want to give any Easter eggs away, but if you do a quick Google search, you'll be like, are you kidding me? I don't remember her being here. You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised. I'm surprised someone in the chat room hasn't brought up the example I'm talking about. So, and obviously we got the Grayson Waller effect with Shawn Michaels. I'm still standing with my idea. I think Johnny Gargano's got to show up. I think he's got to. I mean, there's rumors that Dragon Lee is going to show up and get into a Grayson Waller. Just remember Gargano's exit. Remember when he left because he and his wife were going to welcome their first child into this world. Grayson Waller is the one that kicked him in the ass on the way out. He was the one, you know, Johnny Gargano was with Shawn Michaels hugging him on the stage before all this happened. It writes itself. There is no, all you have to do is just show the clips from that night. Boom. Easy. Easy. It doesn't have to be extremely thought out. I think people, and this is not a step down for Johnny Gargano. Not at all. Finishing that storyline against Grayson Waller is good for the storyline. It's good for NXT fans. It's good just to see the match. And it's good for Grayson Waller as well. So I think I'm still going with Johnny Gargano to end up being the one to confront Grayson Waller. And that leads to the match at Stand and Deliver. If it does not happen, hey, you know, I think we put a very good argument out there why it should have been Johnny Gargano. If we're wrong, we're wrong. If it ends up being somebody else, so be it. I just hope the storyline makes as much sense as what we presented. And I think what we presented was a very, very good argument why it should be Johnny Gargano. So, two more things before we get out of here. I just wanted to mention quickly. Last Tuesday, we talked about WWE was interested in taking a look on Zoe Stark on the main roster. A couple of days later, it was revealed that Zoe Stark was going to take on Charlotte Flair and Sonya Deville, and Liv Morgan was added to it as well on some of the house shows last week. So from what I was told over the weekend, WWE was very, very satisfied with what they saw with Zoe Stark on the main roster. She showed that she could hang with the big girls, and they also liked her interaction with the fans because she was playing it up with the fans. I don't know if any of you saw any of the cell phone footage that's out there, but she was getting a nice reaction against the fans, you know, heel reaction. NXT, we may see, be on the lookout, maybe not necessarily this coming weekend, but next weekend, be on the lookout for the WWE house shows. Someone else on NXT they are considering to take a look at on the main roster, one of these super shows. So you'll see who it is when it comes up. I don't want to give it away because if the person ends up not getting it, you know, I don't want to throw any caca on them. Look, we told you that Tony D'Angelo was going to be working main event a couple of weeks ago. The following week he was on main event. So just be on the lookout that they were very pleased with Zoe Stark's work. And they're now going to take a look at someone else as well. Someone Psycho's asking, do I think the House of Black will work at WWE? Absolutely. Absolutely. Malakai Black, Aleister Black, you don't have to change all that much. And, you know, Buddy Matthews, when he first came into the House of Black, to me, he looked too much like a pretty boy. And they tweaked him. I think Julie Hart fits like a glove with the House of Black right now. The only thing is, you know, like, you remember when Judgment Day first came around and Brody King had to open his fat mouth? And I should talk, I'm fat too. But he opened his mouth and threw shade at the Judgment Day and threw shade at Edge, called them, what, Judgment Day? It was House of Black on Wish. So, obviously, it would have to take a different direction. All right, before I get out of here, I just wanted to give you my quick thoughts on the Ring of Honor tapings that happened this past weekend in Orlando. All right, for those that don't know, Ring of Honor and their Honor Club, starting this weekend, they're going to put the televised matches, the matches that they taped, and they're going to be on Honor Club for everybody to enjoy. Now, based on the number of matches, this is probably going to give them at least a month to possibly 6 weeks worth of footage. And I know what some of you are going to say, like, wow, you know, they're stretching it out that much. Yeah. Yeah. And people wanted my honest thoughts. My honest thoughts of these results, and I'm not giving you spoilers, but I will read you some of the matches. Timothy Burns is asking me, where has Bobby Roode been? He had surgery, major surgery, and he's on the road to recovery. And next week, Saturday, I'm going to give everybody a little update on Tommaso Ciampa. Guy's getting jacked. He's getting very, very healed very, very quickly. Bobby Roode's got a little ways to go. But Honor Club, here's my honest opinion about this, okay? In the current economy, $9.99 could be a cup of coffee, all right? You know, a very extravagant specialty coffee with a bunch of shit added to it. My point is Honor Club worth dropping $10 even for 1 month? After reading these results from these tapings, my honest opinion is, if you were a fan of Ring of Honor from yesteryear, if you want to maybe go check out some matches over the last two decades that maybe you haven't seen or maybe you never saw, if you want to see some of your favorites from Sami Zayn to Kevin Owens and others, if you want to see them in their earlier days, and you also want to see what they're doing with the current Ring of Honor, I think dropping $10 for 1 month is not a bad idea. All right. And look, when I read you these matches, most of them don't stand out like, oh yeah, I gotta get Honor Club. I brought this up on Patreon a couple of days ago. I was a hardcore ECW fan. I really took note of it in 94. By early 95, I was hooked beyond belief, and I was loyal, dedicated. To be able to work for them in a very small role behind the scenes for the final year in existence is something that I will cherish for the rest of my life. Loved it. But the thing is this, if ECW went out of business, and which was 2001, and then in 2002, 2003, another promotion started and brought a bunch of the ECW stars aboard, or was going to have that kind of product with some stars mixed in, and they happened to have 20-year library of content, and you know they were offering for, I don't care if it would have been Shaw versus JT Smith, or the full-blooded Italians with Tommy Rich. You know what I mean? Like, if that was the caliber of ECW stars that were going to be available, maybe the Sandman, a little Sabu, I would have bought it for $9.99 to get a little nostalgia, to relive some memories that I forgot about or maybe heard of and never saw, and to see a little bit of today and see some of my favorites, maybe not my all-time favorites, but some of my favorites going at it with other people or maybe Stars of Tomorrow, I think it's worth $10. So the matches, and I'm not going to get into skits or confrontations or other stuff that went down, but here's some of the matches that were taped for Honor Club. Mark Briscoe versus Slim J, The Kingdom versus The Infantry, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Blake Christian, Christopher Daniels versus Rohit Raju, Josh Woods versus Takeshka, The Embassy versus LSG, Joe Keys and Rex Lawless, Arya Daivari versus Grand Metalik, Sky Blue and Madison Rayne versus the Renegades, Claudio versus AR Fox, Samoa Joe versus Tony Deppen, Dalton Castle and the boys versus Cody Cajun, Guillermo Rosas and Marcus Cross, Roosh and Dralistico versus Angelico and Serpentico, Trisadora versus Billy Sparks, Aussie Open versus Tracy Williams and Red Titus. You know, it's not bad. There aren't bad matches. Eddie Kingston versus Bendejo. Athena versus Willow Nightingale. Eddie Kingston versus Jeeves K. Grand Metalik and great Blake Christian versus the Trustbusters. Dante Martin versus Mike Bennett. We have Claudio versus Willie Mack in a Proving Grounds match. That's basically like a championship contenders match. You prove yourself, you get a future title shot. Will Ayuda versus Clark Connors. Mark Briscoe versus Tony Nese. Brian Cage versus Tony Deppen. Aussie Open versus Christopher Daniels. Matt Sydal. Samoa Joe versus Cheeseburger. It's not bad. It's not bad. If you liked Ring of Honor, if you like some of the names that I mentioned, if you feel some people have been underutilized on AEW television and getting a little bit of an opportunity here, if you want to go check out the old library in the process as well, for $10 for 1 month, I would say give it a shot. I would say give it a shot. Definitely not bad. The only thing that I am worried about, the only thing I am worried about these tapings is the length of the matches. Because I didn't add these up, but it looks like each night had 20 matches, around 20 matches. Now, how many hours did they tape in these buildings? Three? So when you start thinking about entrance music, skits, there were confrontations, you know, people showing up, surprises that we didn't even talk about. You start adding all of that. I mean, I don't know how I'm going to feel if all these matches are mostly 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 4.5 minutes. So I don't know. I don't know. And, you know, again, Samoa Joe is all over this. And I think Samoa Joe is going to be focused more on Ring of Honor going forward. Now, yes, next week we have a TNT title match on Dynamite. But as I said in the predictions, I think Wardlow is going to get that championship. Then we may not see Samoa Joe on AEW television as much. But remember, we don't know how often these tapings are going to go. But you're talking 40 matches were taped. 40. How many matches a week are they going to release on Honor Club? Even if they release 10, which I think is very fair. There's your 40 in 1 month if they give you new content every week. We don't know if it's going to be every week. I think it will. But if they tape only once a month, you know, it's going to be interesting to see 2, 3, 4 months down the line if people still keep the Honor Club subscription going. But I personally think if you were a fan of Ring of Honor, if you used to be a fan of Ring of Honor, if you like some of the names that I mentioned and you're debating if you should drop the $10 or not, for $9.99, I think it's worth the shot. Am I going to get it? Honestly, no. No. Because I had Ring of Honor Honor Club when I used to do the history shows. I used to try to cap audio from it, and I would edit and, you know, see what I'm allowed to do and not allowed to do. So I went through the library, and I would watch matches, and I would do this and do this. So I had Honor Club for about maybe a year and a half back in the day. So most of the content that I wanted to see, I saw. You know, so, you know, the current stuff, yeah, I want to see a few months. I want to see how it is handled, Ring of Honor. If it there's a consistency coming, and I don't mind people showing up once in a blue moon because that's what we got in the early days of TNA, I think it's worth it. So, all right, guys, I ended up going a little bit longer than I expected to, but I wanted to be very, very fair in everything that I talked about tonight. Plus, you know, we spent about 10 minutes talking about the situation with Hobbs and the ladder. I'm very, very curious how you all feel about the use of the ladders by the referees getting involved with that. I honestly, look, up until tonight, like I said earlier, I always felt referees should not get involved in that. But tonight, I think obviously safety first. And yes, AEW screwed up for not having another ladder like that on hand for Hobbs to get it quickly. You can't ask a referee to pull a ladder into the ring. You can't do stuff like that. But the guys climbing the ladder, you know, again, you watch some of the matches from yesteryear where weapons were used, fire was used, and there would be referees right there to drop a towel, drop this, drop that. What are you supposed to do? No, let him burn. Let him fry like a chicken. You know, he'll get pinned. He loses the match. Hey, that's what he taught. You know, sometimes you got to put aside, you know, the suspension of disbelief and look at a little common sense. You know, if they didn't do something tonight, I guarantee you, if they didn't hold that ladder and Hobbs climbed it and that ladder buckled or Hobbs just fell off and seriously injured himself, you know what people would have said? The fuck, why didn't the referees just try to hold the ladder, or why didn't somebody, you know, something somewhere? You know, it's Monday morning quarterbacking. Shouldn't have happened, but it did. I don't have too much of a problem with it. So, all right, I'll talk to you all soon. I'll be here Saturday at 11:05 a.m. for the Don Tony Show. We got a couple of things to get into. Oh, we got something good about Judgment Day. Oh, we got something good about Judgment Day. I teased it on Patreon Tuesday, and when I brought it up, everybody's like, I can't believe news sites haven't caught on to it. It's going to be a story. People are going to clickbait you. I'm going to get into it on Saturday. And yes, we will talk about Sonya Deville, that she was arrested last month, having a gun in Jersey without a permit. It's not as, look, it's a serious thing, but it's more of a brain fart than anything else. You know, there's a lot, going to be a lot of people that are clickbait. Oh, major WWE superstar arrested for gun possession. You know, Sonya Deville, you know, we'll talk about it Saturday, but she basically, it's almost like you have a license in Florida, but you don't have a license in another state, and you happen to bring something in the other state. Oh, fuck, I forgot it was in my glove compartment. No excuse, but, you know, hell. Didn't Terry Reynolds accidentally leave a gun in a suitcase several years ago, and she got arrested over that? It's not as, listen, guns are a serious issue, but it's not like Sonya Deville was getting ready to hold up a bank, you know, or she held up a bank to buy an engagement ring because she just got engaged. So we'll talk about it Saturday, but it's not as big of a story as people are trying to portray it to be. So hope everyone has a great rest of their day or evening, depending on where you live. And I'll catch you all again soon. Be well. Much love.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.